You'd like to go with me to Luke 24. I'm reading the word. When you're there, say amen. Please stand for reading of the word. I do have a little bit of lengthy reading tonight. We're going to be at Luke 24, starting at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Let's skip down to verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures that things concerning himself. For time, let's get down to verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them." I'm going to preach tonight on the road to revival. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to take this word that you have given us. Knowing this word will not return void, I'm asking, God, that you bring it forth through me as this vessel, God, as a conduit of your spirit. Lord, I'm asking you to touch me tonight. Touch these lips of clay that I would speak the words that you have given. Let it come forth. Bring back every remembrance of everything that you have given me as I've studied this out, God. Let it come approved by you, not of myself. I have nothing to offer, but I'm asking, God, that you do what only you can do for this congregation here tonight. God, I ask that you open each and every mind, that, God, they be intense, focused upon what you have to say, not what I have to say. But, Lord, I know that you will speak to our hearts, and I'm giving you the glory and the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated and ask the Lord. On the road to revival. The idea of revival comes to us many times. We think about 4 or 5 days in the church. We're seeking God. We think that evangelist comes and that's a revival. That's not what I'm speaking about tonight. What I'm going to preach to you tonight is focusing on a personal revival. You and me. A personal revival. Because if we in a state of revival personally, it will easily and quickly show up in the church. Amen?
Right.
Each and every one of us. We're going to stand before the Lord by ourselves.
Yes, we are.
Even though I love all of you, I'm going to have to stand before God by myself.
Yes.
For what I've done, what I have not done,
right,
what I'm doing this time, and so forth and so on. But I want a personal revival for myself.
Yes.
I get happy all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you?
Amen.
That's what we come to do, is happy in the Lord. But it's more than that. It's joy also. Because joy lasts a lot longer than happiness. Happiness is kind of a fleeting moment. But joy, that we call, comes in the morning, it's a time. It's going to last a lot longer.
Right.
In the passage that we have just read in Luke, two men are walking down a road. While they're walking down the road, they're sad. Hard and troubling things have just happened around them. Imagine their thoughts. They just knew that Jesus Christ had been crucified. What they considered the king, the one that's going to deliver them, the one at the time rode in on the donkey, and they believed as the king, as they threw down all the leaves and everything else and so forth, they believed him being king. But also, they saw him being crucified, and then they also heard stories of others that saw him empty the tomb. But they didn't see it themselves. They knew what had happened, but they've been talking about it. As you and I would be, if we were talking about going down the road, we would be talking about what just happened to us, what we're going on, what has happened in our lives. They were searching for understanding. So while they were walking, they started talking about what had just happened. Do any of those scenarios sound familiar in your lives? When something happens in your life, you start to think about it. And the next thing you know, we start to talk about it. A lot of times it ends up on social media, right? But also you'll talk about family members or a best friend or a spouse or whomever else. You'll start talking about the difficult times of what's going on in our lives. We walk down a road of life. We deal with troubling things, things that make us concerned and sad, things that we aren't able to understand. And most of the time we start talking about while we're walking down the road of life. We just start talking about it. We start dealing with it in our own way. And that's in themselves. These two men were kind of dealing with this in themselves. They start talking about what was going on in their lives and what they thought was going to be. The question for us is, which road are we going to choose? The road where we are trying to figure it all out for ourselves? Or are we going to choose to walk on the road to revival? Are we going to try to figure it out ourselves? Or are we going to walk to the road of revival? That's what we're talking about tonight. The answer for us while we're on the road is to begin to focus on the Word of God. That very Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and discerns of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now think about that part of the scripture. Oftentimes we talk about the rest of the scripture. Let's think about just the thoughts about our hearts. What's going on in our thoughts and our mind, and oftentimes it's dealing with our hearts. We're dealing with heaviness and sadness. Those things that we're dealing with right now. These men are dealing with this. They're confused about what's going on. When you begin to focus on these things, the confusion will disappear when we start dealing with the Word of God. When the Word of God comes in, the other has to move out. Spurgeon said this, when two saints are talking together, Jesus is very likely to come in and make him to be the third in the company. Talk of him, and soon you will be talking with him.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very true statement. When you start talking of Christ, when you start talking about if two brothers and two sisters, you're sitting around a table, and you start talking about Jesus, the next thing you know, you see this power starts moving into the place. He starts to come in, commune with you. There's something wonderful. I know Melissa and I, we talk about it from time to time when we don't have children between us. We'll have time that we'll start talking about Christ. We'll start talking about something that's going on, or maybe something you've read. It's like, you know, this is what I think. This is what I've read, and this is what God revealed to me. And God soon shows up, and you start feeling something, and a revelation starts to happen. A revelation starts coming out, and it's above you, it's not you. Amen? It's talking about the Holy Spirit starts to show up, and he starts to give us understanding, because we're interested in Christ. We're interested in what he has to say. We're interested in the Word of God, and he starts to come in and commune and sup with us and start giving us revelation and understanding. That's what we're talking about here. They let the Word talk to them. On the road to revival, we have to focus on the Word of God. At first, these two men are just talking about what they could not understand. But when Jesus showed up, he started giving them understanding.
Right. Yeah.
Again, Luke 24:27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. These would have been men who were familiar with the writings of the prophets of Isaiah. Jesus started quoting to them the scriptures in Isaiah that were about what these two men had just witnessed happen to Jerusalem. Isaiah 53:3-5 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we had hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Yes.
These scriptures, they should have been understanding. Jesus, the Word, began to talk to these two sad, confused men and tell them that he was the seed of the woman who's healed. he was bruised. The blessing of Abraham to all nations, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the angel who wrestled with Jacob, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the voice from the burning bush, the Passover lamb, the prophet greater than Moses, the captain of the Lord's army, the ultimate kinsman redeemer, the son of David, who was the king greater than David, the sufferer, savior of Psalms 22, the good shepherd of Psalms 23, the wisdom of Proverbs, the lover of the Song of Solomon, the savior described by the prophets, the servant of Isaiah 53, the princely Messiah of Daniel, who would establish a kingdom that would never end. This is what Jesus was talking to these two men, sad, walking down the road, that didn't know what was going on. But Jesus was alive, and they did not know who he was. But yet, it burned within them, and they did not know what was going to happen, but it already happened.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
All they had known was an empty tomb that someone else told them about, but they didn't see it with their own eyes, so they didn't believe. They heard the ladies when they came and told them this report. They said, okay, that's great. It's great for you, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
They were waiting for something tangible, like many of us do right now. We wait to see what we're going to see. But what does the Word say? After listening to the Word, talk to them. These two men didn't want this man who was talking to believe. When the truth is spoken, it makes you want to move.
Yeah.
It makes you want to grip a hold of what it is. It makes you want to dive in deeper. Whenever the Word starts to speak into our hearts, it separates what is the lie of the world. And all of a sudden, things become clear. The scales fall from our eyes. Our ears can hear what the Word is telling us.
Yes.
There's a change in our heart. There's a change in what we want. There's a change in our spirit. There's something that happens. It is not of this world. Yes. They constrained him to stay with them, even though they didn't even know it was Jesus at the time. They just didn't want him to leave because the Word was talking to them.
Yes, Jesus.
The Word was talking to them.
Yes, Jesus.
They wanted more. They wanted to be fed the truth. They wanted to know what he was speaking. Could you imagine? Jesus Christ. I would imagine, as we were reading just a moment, when the scales fell from our eyes and they could see who was speaking, and then he vanished.
Mm-hmm.
How could that imagine how that would have felt? We can.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to head down the road to revival, we have to hunger for the Word. Not just say we love the Word and want the Word, but hunger, hold on to, don't let go of the Word.
Right.
We have to allow it to talk to us and believe it will not return void. Do you believe it?
Yes, amen.
Oftentimes we say that the Word will not return void, but many times, is that how we react to what we pray?
Right.
When I pray the Word and I believe the Word and I don't expect it to return void, do I act upon it? Do I believe that truth? What is it that I believe? Oftentimes we're told what to believe. In a world that's fallen, they'll tell you what you should believe and what you shouldn't believe. That seems like that's really crazy. You believe in a man in the sky? No, I don't. I believe in God, period.
Yeah.
He created all the sky and everything in it, including you.
Yeah, amen.
That's what I believe. That's what I know. It's a fact. The Word of truth. Where'd my Bible go? Somebody left their Bible here for some time. It's not there. I was going to grab it. I should have brought my own. However, the fact is, it is truth. It is truth. Do we believe it? Do we act on it? Do we know that it's not going to be void? You can't separate Jesus from the Word, nor can you separate revival from the Word.
Right.
Their eyes were opened because of the Word. When true revival comes, people are made aware of the holiness of God. In King Josiah's time, in 2 Kings 22, Judah was in bad shape. After some good years with King Hezekiah, the nation declined with 55 years under a wicked king. And the 2 years after that were any better with the next king. The country looked bleak. God's people were suffering. There wasn't much to be happy about. But God, by a sovereign, surprising work of the Spirit, breathed new life into his people. There was a God-given renewal or revival in Judah. The first and most important mark in revival is rediscovery of the Word of God. In King Josiah's day, the high priest found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Obviously, because of the state of the country, the book had been missing for a very long time. And when King Josiah heard the words of the book, his eyes were opened. And when his eyes were opened, he started putting away all the idols, the magicians, and the sin, the R-rated movies, the social media, the pornography, the things that take us away from the Word of God and cause the Word to be missing. Come on. We need to put the things of the world outside of our place. We need to put God where He is, and He is only what we should be focused on. Not anything else in the world needs to have a place at the table of a Christian. Only God and His Word. That is where we need to be focused on.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, my voice is going away for just a moment. Can you imagine this scenario? Someone on your church staff comes up from the storage closet and says, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but I found a Bible in there. Remember years ago when we used to read the Bible? Well, I found one.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I think we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
I've been looking at God's commandments for us, and we are way off." Mm-hmm. Come on. That's essentially what happened at Josiah's day. It was the rediscovery of the book of the law and opened their eyes and sparked revival in the land. From start to finish, God's mighty work in the land was done according to the word. What does it say? What do we need to do? "Give it to me straight," Josiah said. You can almost hear the hunger for the truth in his voice when he was speaking these words to them. We're going to be the people of the book.
Yes.
True revival is Bible saturated. Revival is not simply an intense longing for spiritual things. Many today are looking for spiritual things in the wrong places. Look around. You see people looking for crystals and aliens and stupidity like that, thinking that they're going to find something supernatural. I'm going to tell you, the only thing supernatural is worth seeking is God. There's not anything else in this world that has anything to offer except God. He's the only way. It's a small, narrow path, but that is the way. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. The world wants to give you many ways to heaven, but there's only one way. The book tells us, but if we don't read the book, we wouldn't know that. We would not ask somebody else what their opinion is. I don't care about somebody else's opinion. I don't care about what the book tells me. It tells me the truth. There is no other truth in this world. The world doesn't give you truth. It lies to you and makes you slander on through. But you know what? You can always go back to the truth. The truth of the word that will tell you and make you free.
Yes, amen.
God worked revivals, brings a fervor for the Bible. We can feel, live, sing, pray, work, worship according to the word of God. The word will always open your eyes. The scales will fall off.
Yeah.
The scales will fall off. In our day, the Bible will not be found in the pairing of some temple. But when the wind of the Spirit blows, the authority of the Bible will be revived and rediscovered. Would we be a people to respond to that revival within us as the Spirit moves? Would we? This church, we move many times when the Spirit moves.
Yeah.
People moving in the altars, the Spirit's moving. But how about myself?
Yeah.
How about me? How about revival in me? Am I where I need to be? Am I where I want to be? It's a new year. We're already in April. Have I succeeded to move closer to Christ? Have I moved in a supernatural way because God's going to speak through me? Am I doing what God called upon me to do? Have I been just waiting in the wings, just waiting, waiting, and waiting, and waiting, when there's souls all around me falling and going to go to hell because I don't speak? It's time.
Yes.
It's time. It's getting very near. It's time to be bold where that light is going to be brightest when it's the darkest. There's no doubt that it's dark right now, but we don't have to fear, but we can go boldly before the throne of God and know that He's got my back.
Yes. Amen.
I don't have to worry about what the world's going to do.
Thank you, Lord.
We need to be concerned about what God's going to do.
Yes.
The world wants to make us concerned about what it can do to the church. I'm not concerned about what the world's going to do because it's God's church. I can't protect it. I can't do anything about it. All I can do is stand and obey. I can go forward. I can pray. I can read the Bible. I know what it says, and I know that it will not return void. I know who wins the battle. There's no question. But during that time, we're going to abide.
No question.
And I want to see how many are going to make it in the ark before the end. We don't know how many days it is to rapture. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it 365? 700? 2? We don't know. But we do know it's soon. There's no question about the signs that are going on right now. And many times, if you want to know how hard the devil's working, whenever you start to think, well, I've heard that all my life, the devil's working. I thought these things all my life. I thought, you know what? It's always been like that. It's the way it is. The devil's working to make you think that it's not this close. It's close. It's very, very close. We don't have to question that. What we need to be focused on is how many are we going to bring with us? How many am I going to witness to? How many can I give the word of truth to? When two men walking down the road saw the word, they suddenly realized they were to believe. Faith came alive when their eyes were open, and their eyes were open because they heard and saw the word. How are you going to get on the road to revival? You're going to let the word talk to you, and you are going to let the word open your eyes to things that need to be addressed, are fixed, are changed, even in our own lives. When the word shows up, we start to realize, am I really living what I said I was living? Am I really who I thought I was being? Hello?
Yeah.
It's not about what I think. It's about what the word says.
Right.
It's not about what I think or you think. It's about what the word says.
Right.
And we need to understand what that says, because this is what we're going to be judged by.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. I want to know what I'm going to be judged by. If you were going to court tomorrow, you would want to know what you're going to be judged by. You would say, oh, here's my defense. If you'll choose to walk on the road to revival, you will find that Jesus is walking with you, holding on to your hand, speaking to us all truths.
Yes.
On the road to revival, your heart will catch on fire. Their hearts burned in them because of the word. When revival comes, God draws near, and the nearness of his presence produces profound reverence and awe. How amazing is it when God shows up?
Yeah.
We like to rejoice, and we like to dance and shout, and that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. David danced before the Lord. People shouted and screamed and ran. And that's wonderful. We should do those things. But also, we should read and spend time in the Word, so those times will come more often. Because
yeah.
When you can shout and be excited because you know the Word is burning with your heart, when someone speaks the Word, it makes you move. Whenever you know the truth for yourself, it'll make you move, because I know it.
Yeah.
Not just here, but here.
Because
I know it to be truth, and that makes me want to move. That says, hallelujah! Praise the Lord, that is truth.
Yeah.
That makes me excited, because I know that I'm going to see my risen Savior soon. Because that day is coming so soon.
Yes,
whether you are a new convert or just being brought back to God again in a new way, on the road to a true revival, sinners are made freshly aware that God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God and will not share his glory with any other. When the Spirit of God falls on people, their conscience is pricked, and sinners will feel the conviction of the Spirit burning in them to repent.
Yes.
There's no true salvation without repentance.
True.
Without repentance.
Amen.
Yeah.
I've seen many times preachers will talk from the pulpit and say, if you just repeat this prayer, No. That's not what the Word says. The Word says you must repent. Then you may be saved. It didn't say, let's repeat a little prayer and you're saved, because that is not what the word says. Too many times we listen to what's going on around us instead of reading and knowing the word for ourselves. Repentance is truth. These men, after they had thought they had lost what they had believed in, with Jesus being crucified, renewed their covenant with God after their eyes were opened. Imagine the revelation of that. Imagine the revelation of Jesus Christ being there. This is what God's people did repeatedly in the Old Testament. They recommitted in the desert. They recommitted in the promised land. They recommitted in the revival in their own hearts when they were exiled. Revival always happened in the Old Testament when the word came to them. Amen? When God sent the word to his people, their hearts would start burning and they would begin to say to each other, it's time to ante up. It's time to recommit. Are we there tonight? It's time to recommit and be on fire for God, knowing that we know the word of truth. So when someone comes and asks me a question, I will actually know the answer. Many times it says, and I've had this, I've been guilty of. Someone's asked me a question. It's like, you're a Christian. What does this mean? I said, well, let me ask my pastor. Years ago? Yeah? Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, everyone knows. That's right. But I want to know the answer for myself because I'm the one speaking. And if I miss the opportunity to tell someone a truth, then I miss the opportunity. And God could deal with their heart at that very moment and what they may need. There was more than just an individual experience of refreshment. There was a public, corporate commitment that was made. Because when you have a heart burning in you, the church will automatically burn with God's fire. When people start to live what they profess instead of trying to blend in with culture or surroundings, God's people stand out. They pursue faithfulness to the word, not the fashions of the world. When the world talked to King Josiah, when the word talked to King Josiah, his eyes were open, his heart started to burn, and he did quickly. He didn't wait. He responded to the word immediately. David was a man after God's own heart because he responded immediately.
Yes, that's it.
When he was wrong, he repented. Immediately when it was brought to him.
Yes, that's good.
Immediately. What do we always think whenever our children do what we want them to do, but they do it later? That's disobedience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We don't wait to do what God said. We do it in obedience. How do we prove that we love Christ if we decide when we're going to do it, when we're not going to do it? Are we really serving Him? Or are we serving ourselves when it's convenient? If we're going to do what God said to do, we're going to do it right now. We're not going to wait until tomorrow. I decided I'm going to go ahead and hold on to this sin today because I'm really having a good time with it. I'll repent tomorrow. Come on. We don't have that choice. If we're serving Him, we're going to say, I don't want this part of my life. I'm going to read the Word, and it's going to make me free. Because Jesus Christ washed me white as snow. I will not be tainted by the world. Allow it to be a part of it. Because I have communion with Him. When people start to live what they profess, instead of trying to blend in the culture and surroundings, God's people will stand out.
Yes.
I know I said it twice.
Yeah. It's okay.
There's a difference. It's a difference when people come to you and say, what's different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if that happened to me, I'd do this. If that happened to me, I'd punch that dude right in the mouth. Hello? We killed all the crickets so they can't make any noise for you. Just saying. If that happened to me, I'd do this. The world reacts differently than a Christian will. A Christian, one that really truly serves Christ, will be like Christ. That's why it's Christ-like. Christian. Too many times it's tainted, and we've been allowed the world to decide what it's to be a Christian. Christian has become a slang word. People are almost afraid of using it. Oh, I'm a believer. Believer in what? Everybody's a believer in something. What proves what we believe? If I'm a Christian, I'm going to be Christ-like. If I want to be like Christ, I'm going to continue to read and know and hear and allow that revival to be within me so it's always burning, so I can come to the throne room boldly and know that he's going to hear me. Know that whenever I ask of him that someone needs to be healed, that he hears me and I'm going to see miraculous things. Know that God is going to save those that I'm praying for because God is the one that adds to the church daily.
Yeah.
Not the building, the body of Christ.
Right.
Not me. Not anybody else can add to that kingdom. But we can be obedient. When your heart is on fire with God, all your excuses will die. You won't try to delay. You will just respond with quick obedience. On the road to revival, God cultivates a new hatred for sin and a new hunger for righteousness. You ever notice that? Many times, after a fire-breathing revival or evangelist comes or so forth, everyone's on fire. We've had a renewed. We've had fire within us because we've been reading the Word for 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row. We've opened the Bible. I'm going to get up real close to this microphone right now. We should be reading the Word every day anyway. And it should be burning within us before we ever walked in the door. Revival will start with you and I. It starts there. The man or woman of God that walks in, that's great. They're anointed. That's wonderful. But they're not bringing revival. He's bringing revival. And if we have more of him in us, there'll be more revival happening afterwards and throughout and so forth. And the hunger of the Word will continue to move within us and will continue to do great and mighty things because not me, but because of him. Things that I have no idea of.
Thank you, Jesus.
But whenever we start speaking about Jesus Christ, then the revelation. The Word says in these last days, there'll be mysteries that will be answered. Where in the last days do you expect mysteries to be answered that are in that Bible? I do. And we should expect it. That's not adding to it or taking away. It's what it said. The Bible is all truths. Whenever we allow the world to dictate what truth is, we've missed what the truth is. God's truth. Not what kind of man has formulated it to be, but what God said it was to be. So in closing, what does it mean to be on the road to revival? What does it mean? Is it not a generic spirituality? It's not. It is not just an emotional high. It is not an idea of perfection. It's not. The road to real revival is marked by rediscovery of the Word of God. The road to revival is marked by a restored sense of the fear of God. Brother Chris, can you hear me this time?
Yeah.
The road to revival is marked by a new devotion to God. You'll let the Word talk to you. Your eyes will open and your heart will burn within you. I know how the enemy works. He'll work and work and work, usually to make us busy. If he can't make you fail, he'll make you busy. Why? If he can't make you fail, he'll make you busy. In the hopes that when you're so busy, you will fail. Because evidently, if we don't have the Word, if we don't spend time in prayer and reading the Word of God, we'll eventually fall. Because the truth is not within us. We're not feeding on it. God didn't say just read it one time and be done. Because every one of us read through the Bible in 1 year and we'd be done. Do you know everything in the Word? I'm not going to put my hand up here. But he said it's a living Word. the closer you get with Christ, the more revelation he'll give to you. For where you're at right now, there's so much more for all of us. So much more. The Word revealed unto us, as he did to these two men. These were just two disciples. They weren't part of the 11 or 12 at the time. The 11 at the time, actually. They wasn't at the Last Supper. It's just two disciples that believed in Christ were saddened because they saw him crucified. They heard of an empty tomb from witnesses, but they didn't see it. So they really didn't believe it. Because if they had, they wouldn't be going to Emmaus with him. They would have stayed in Jerusalem. But what I didn't say is as they did hear the word from Christ, the word, and it burned within them, after he left, they took the hike back to Jerusalem. Hello? It didn't say that they were part of the 120 in the upper room, but I'm going to say maybe so. If God showed up and spoke to you directly, you would too.
Yeah.
He is speaking to you directly.
Speaking
through that word. Don't let the Bible, let the world tell you what the Bible says. Know it for yourself. Let God speak.
Yes.
And let it revive our souls. Because when we tend to stumble, we tend to have a difficulty in life, and things don't, we either run to the world or we run to the Word. World or Word. That's very close, isn't it? The world has lots of avenues. A lot of things that seem right in our own eyes. Let's get it right. We think that we know. We think we grasp because it makes sense. So many times we want it to make sense. If I could understand everything God was or is, he would be God. Because I understand that song. And neither are you. His ways are way higher than our ways. We're not supposed to understand everything about God. But what he wants us to know is in this word. Every single question has an answer in this word. I promise you. You want to help with it? I'm here all the time. We'll find it. I'm going to ask you to stand.